Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our fathers, we bow in your presence. We come first, ask you to forgive us, to cleanse us of every sin. I pray that you'll search us, try us, see if there be any wicked way in us. Cleanse us of it. Lead us in the way everlasting. Thank you for this day, for the blessings, the mercies of it, for the place, the privilege to be in this place of worship, for these dear people. Thank you so much for them. Thank you for the songs that have been sung, for these dear young people and how they blessed our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you'll preserve them, watch over them, care for them. And I pray that you'll use them in your service. Thank you for this church, for its testimony, its influence for Christ. Thank you for this dear pastor and his dear wife, for their love, for their labor. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless all their labors for Thee. Bless every man of God that's here, every church that's represented. Thank you for their presence. And I pray that you'll bless them in their respective places of service. Oh, dear God, wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee, and as a result, sinners shall be converted. I pray, Lord, that even in these days, these last dark days, I pray, Lord, for a spiritual awakening. I pray that you'll touch the people of God. Help us as your people to confess our sins, turn from our wicked ways, seek your face until you're pleased to lay bare your holy arm in days of revival and days of refreshing. Lord, you know the need of this hour. And I pray, Lord, that according to your mighty power and your great wisdom, that every need should be met. Lord, I'm conscious that these are here tonight, have gathered here not just to be going somewhere, not to be just to do something. But Lord, we've come to worship you. We've come to hear from heaven. We've come to hear a word from God. And I pray that when we leave tonight, we'll be aware that God has spoken to us and that God has said something to our hearts. Lord, should there be those among us tonight that are strangers to your grace, that have never been to Calvary by faith, may this be the hour they lay down their arms of rebellion to find mercy, grace, and peace with the Lord. All that you're pleased to do in this hour, we will give you the praise. I pray that there'll be no parade in the flesh. May the Lord Jesus alone receive praise, honor, and glory. All that you're pleased to do, we will give you the praise. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. I want to speak to you tonight as we look at this familiar verse in Romans chapter 8, one I'm sure familiar to most of us that have been saved for any length of time. I want to speak to you about a golden text. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And he says now, right now, there's no condemnation. We're not 99% sure of that, but absolutely 100% sure that there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It's heaven's guarantee that if you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. Not to those that are in the church, that is a local church, or to those that just have their name on a church roll, but to those that are in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. All men's incentives cannot set you free. But if you're in Christ, there is no condemnation. All your working and all of your praying and all of your labor cannot put you in such a state of no condemnation. But to those that are in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. And the Apostle Paul, of course, knows, as every child of God knows, the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost within. It's impossible to have the quickening life of God and not know it. And you hath He quickened, which were dead in trespasses and sin. And of course, we were there when it happened. But beyond that, we were once dead in trespasses and sin. But we have been quickened by the power of God. As Brother Mike just said, it is impossible to be saved, to be in Christ, and not know an eternal difference and a divine change. Now it is true that a person can clean up on the outside, make external changes, but no man can change himself from that internal corruption. And if there's not been an internal change, a divine change, Peter reminds us that like a sow returning to its mire, or a dog returning to its vomit, that we'll be back in the same way. But if you've been changed internally, if you've been quickened by the power of God, a divine change has occurred. If any man be in Christ, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now you note the conjunction that introduces this text. Sometimes big doors swing on little hinges. I've noticed some often in those castles in Europe and Scotland, England and Ireland, large humongous doors that are hung just on small hinges. I think about Windsor Castle, where Victoria spent much of her time. And those massive doors, and yet they're mounted on just small hinges. And so big doors do swing on little hinges. But of course the doors that this no condemnation swings on is not a little hinge. None of these are small hinges. Therefore, is a threefold hinge. That is, it fastens all that follows. In the epistles of Romans back to the framework. And in Romans chapter 8, where the apostle says, therefore, he means that what has happened in the past, because of what has happened, there's therefore now no condemnation. Now it didn't just happen that there's no condemnation. But there are some great truths that took place to make this possible. In chapter number 3 of Romans, there's the hinge of justification. And in chapter 6, there's the hinge of our union with Christ. And in chapter 7, there's our identification with Christ. And it's because of these three great truths that there is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. This change, this divine assurance is based on the finished work of the Son of God. And in the light of justification, in the last part of chapter 3, and as seen in the entire chapters 4 and 5 of Romans, you see the strength and the power of this divine hinge that connects the present glories of a child of God with the foundation of all these glories. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of justification, because of our identification with Christ, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It is the justifying act of God that's based on His redemptive work on the cross. for at Calvary He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. By His stripes we are healed. Peter reminds us that once we were dead in trespasses and in sin, and because of the finished work of the cross, there's therefore now no condemnation. By His stripes we are healed. The Lord Jesus paid our sin debt and made it possible that a holy God could reconcile fallen man. The bottom line is, Jesus paid it all. He did it all. It was God who stirred our wicked hearts. It was God that stirred that old Adamic nature and that caused us to seek after God. It was God, the Holy Ghost, who convicted us of our sins at a time when we didn't know God. We didn't want God. We did not seek after God. And yet God provided saving faith. Holy Ghost conviction. He drew us. And we followed on. But God sought us and brought us to Himself in such a way we thought we were doing it. We thought we were seeking after God. When all the time it was God seeking for us. It was God searching for us. For not a one of us would have ever started toward heaven and God had not God taken the divine initiative. He loved us before He laid the foundation of the world. And long before the cross was ever erected on Golgotha's hill. In the eternity past, in the silent tricks of an eternity past, the cross was erected in the mind and the heart of God. He is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And so you see, there is now no condemnation because of what proceeded in the finished work of the Son of God. As a matter of fact, Brother Mike, I'm convinced that most of us were saved for a long time before we had the remotest idea of what happened to us by the grace of God alone. I remember as a 9-year-old boy, as a matter of fact, it'll be 55 years ago next Tuesday. And I remember being under such conviction. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I was miserable. I was afraid. I didn't know it was conviction. I didn't know what conviction meant. I didn't even know there was such a word as conviction. But after God saved me, I read this book, heard this book preached, then I discovered that's what happened to me. I got under conviction. That's why I was miserable. That's why I was afraid. Thank God for that Holy Ghost conviction. And no person shall ever be saved apart from that. It is the Holy Ghost who does that work in a heart that leads us to a fountain filled with blood where every sinner that plunges beneath it may lose all their guilty stains. The only difference that God recognizes is those that have divine life and those that do not have life, spiritual life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. That's pretty simple. That's not complicated. If you have spiritual life, then you have the light of God in your heart. You have life, spiritual life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Now, a person is not either dead, or they're not half dead or half alive in reality. You're either dead or you're alive. There's no in-between state. If a person is dead, then of course there's no life. And if they're alive, then they're not dead. It's one or the other. It's death or life. And if God has saved you, you're spiritually alive. And if you're not saved, you're still dead in trespasses and in sins. That dead person feels nothing. That dead person has no reaction to anything. You could take that corpse, bounce it off the wall like a basketball. It'd feel nothing. It's dead. You've changed the environment of that corpse. You can move it out of the funeral home. Place it on Fifth Avenue in New York City. It'll still be dead. The only thing that'll help a dead person is life. And the only one that can help those that are spiritually dead is Christ and the life of God. He that hath the Son hath life. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God, to make me free. I will sing of my Redeemer, for there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You note the confirmation that perpetuates it. If you've really been justified, the proof is there is no condemnation now, presently. Now when we're with the Lord, safe in the arms of Jesus in the future, those of us that are saved, we can understand how there will be no condemnation. But the truth is, right now, presently, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I'm not hoping there won't be any condemnation. I'm not 95% sure. I'm 100% sure. Because I have the authority of this book. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But somebody says, the preacher says, there's no condemnation for me. I wouldn't go with that. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I don't say bad words or eat peanuts. I do this and I do that. And therefore, I must be saved. Don't base your salvation on your own works. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The fact is that God Himself has no judgment against us if we are in Christ. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It's because I'm in Him and Christ in me that there's no condemnation. We have come to the true and the righteous judge. Hebrews in that same chapter reminds us that we have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Somebody told me not long ago in a meeting that they were sure they were saved. They had a dream one night and dreamed they were saved. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And if you're not in Christ, you're still under condemnation. Pilate said, I find no fault in Him. Peter in his epistle reminds us, who did no sin, when reviled, reviled not again. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Did you know that if an hour ago a staggering, stuttering drunkard went into a rescue mission and was truly saved, he might still have a bad headache at this moment, but there is therefore now no condemnation. That was true of that Philippian jailer who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Though just moments before, he had held a suicidal sword in his hand. But at that moment, there was therefore now no condemnation. Because he was in Christ Jesus, and I can say without any reservation on the authority of this book, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And I can say to every sinner who truly believes that moment of pardon may receive. And this very moment, in an instant quicker than I can tell, you can be delivered from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's darling son. You can be brought from life of spiritual death to spiritual life. And the awareness, of course, of this glorious liberty is one of the greatest forces that's ever been unleashed in the life of a believer. Now, of course, often there are those that criticize the emotional outbreak of the saints' position in Christ, the emotional outbreak, as they put it. And I know that there is a counterfeit religious ecstasy, and that people can be stirred by their own flesh rather than by the truth of the Word of God. But the fact that there is a counterfeit tells me that there is the reality. You can't have a counterfeit if you don't have something that's real in the first place. If a counterfeit is an imitation of the real thing. But I do know this, that we don't have to apologize. We don't have to hang our head in shame for the fact that we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And because of this glorious truth, there's praise to God in our heart. And when a soul comes to realize that he ought to be in hell, that he deserves to be in hell, that in reality, Christ endured our hell on the cross and made our salvation possible. He faced our hell for us, in that he faced darkness. He faced the sin of the world as he bore it in his own body. And for the first and the last time, he knew what it was to be separated from the Father as he took your sin and my sin upon himself. Now, right now, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now if a member of Adam's fallen race can yell in a ball game or a car race, or because their favorite politician wins, or because they win $1 million, then it's for sure that a person who is in Christ, who knows that there is therefore now no condemnation because he is in Christ, it is for sure that they can take a jumping joy fit anywhere and any kind, because there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah! 10,000 hallelujahs! There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now we don't read that there was no cause for condemnation. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, he that believeth not is condemned already, because it not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The devil's gospel, of course, is there's no condemnation. There's no judgment at all. But God's gospel is this: to them which are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. We're not in a state of probation. We're in a state of no condemnation. because we are in Christ. He that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And so there was a time when we were condemned, and there was a cause for condemnation. But thank God, when the Lord saved us by grace and placed us in Christ, because we are in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. I'm a Baptist by conviction, but I'm a Christian by conversion. And I'm not under condemnation, not because I'm a Baptist, but because I am in Christ. I am not under condemnation because I am a preacher. I am under no condemnation because I am in Christ Jesus. I can read my title clear to mansions in the sky, because there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The completion that activates it. The reason why there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus is set forth in our Scripture. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath freed us from the law of sin and death. We were once the slaves of the law of sin and death. That was the result of the sin of the first Adam. But because the second Adam, the last Adam, has paid the sin debt and freed us from the slavery of our sinful nature. Now we still got a sinful nature. And as old Robert Robinson wrote, prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, take and seal it for thy courts above. It is a daily battle. And I have a battle keeping my own heart warm. And I have to confess that it is a personal and it is a daily battle. You remember that when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, that it was the law of gravity that was pulling the waters of the Red Sea down. But God caused the waters of the Red Sea to roll back. And all that night and all day, a strong east wind blew. The law of gravity was still as great as ever. And the only reason that those walls of water did not return and cover the Israelites was because of the power of God that kept those waters from returning. While the Israelites walked over on dry ground, and probably kicked sand dust while they walked. And when the Israelites got safely over, God put the laws of gravity back in operation and let them control the Red Sea. And the water returned and drowned those Egyptians. I'm saying when God saved us, we still got that same Adamic nature. We still got that wicked nature. But thank God for the nature that God has given us. That incorruptible seed. That imperishable seed. The only thing that gives us victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. The only thing that keeps that Adamic nature from taking over is the power of God. And the fact that we are in Christ Jesus. And thanks be to God which giveth us the victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. To those that are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. Now, as I said last evening, the law is good and holy, but it cannot save. And we that are saved, we're no longer measured by the law. We're measured by the righteousness of Christ. It's because I'm in Christ that there's no condemnation. It is not because of my goodness. It is not because I'm worthy. It is because of the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And by His righteousness, He hath made us whole. It was the righteousness of God. It is the righteousness of God that has saved us. We are joined to Christ. You and I that are saved, that are in Christ, were in the mind of God before the world began. I remember back in 1971, visiting Calvary outside Jerusalem. And of course, it's impossible to even think about, and has been for many years, to visit Calvary. It is, as it was then, a grown-up Muslim cemetery. And the only reason I got to go that day was I gave the caretaker $1. And he sneaked me into the top of Calvary. But as I stood there, Brother Reeves, I thought to myself, I've been here before. I was here before the world began. For in the mind and the heart of God, He was slain. He is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in His last times for you. I was there a second time when my Lord walked up Calvary's Hill and took my sins in His own body. He loved me and gave Himself for me. I know that He loves you, but as the Apostle Paul said, I know He loved me and gave Himself for me. And on April the 15th, 1958, I went there a third time. When I was saved by grace, I went to Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. There my burdened soul found liberty. And now the fourth time, I thought I'm standing on top of Calvary. But I want to praise God I've been to Calvary. If I never got to go to Calvary physically, I'd already been there. For it was at Calvary He paid my sin debt and made it possible for this old sinner from Whitnall, North Carolina, saved by grace, to walk on streets of gold someday. Because there is therefore now no condemnation to Larry Winkler that is in Christ Jesus. And if you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. Now the devil says to us often that we're not really saved, and therefore we shouldn't have any peace. But thank God the verdict has already been given. The verdict was we were guilty. Every single one of us. You crucified Jesus, and I helped you do it. My sins, your sins, the sins of this world, nailed into the cross. But thank God, in Christ, the prisoner has been acquitted. Did you know that to receive a free pardon, you must admit the fact that you're guilty? Now, if you try to maintain your innocence, you'll die and spend eternity in a Christless hell. But if you admit, by the power of the Holy Ghost, that you're guilty, and look to Jesus Christ, from this moment on, there will be no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I was found guilty. All of us were found guilty. But thank God, I received a pardon because I came to Christ. And therefore I'm saved. Saved! Saved! By the blood of the crucified one. It was true of me 55 years ago. On that night, instantly, there was no more condemnation. And it's true tonight, soon we'll be 55 years later. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. We may be in poverty, but we're not in condemnation. And sometimes we might be in depression, but we're not in condemnation. And sometimes we might suffer physical infirmities, But there's no condemnation. And sometimes we face weaknesses and we face struggles. But there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. It was because of us that Jesus was born. Because of us He lived. Because of us He died. And because of us He ascended back to the Father's right hand. And He ever lives to make intercession for those that come unto God by Him. He won't ever get old and senile. He won't ever get His orders crossed up. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And since the qualification is that we be in Christ, and since His name is eternal, then thank God I can report to you tonight eternally. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.